Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algy, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy.
Welcome to another episode of Ages of Rock podcast. This is episode number 18, and we're going to spend some time today talking about our favorite band.
Kiss!
And actually the Kiss from the old days, right? So we're going to go through the first few albums, and few could be up to Alive 2. And we're going to spend some time just kind of chatting about good things, bad things, how they just pumped records out like crazy. And it didn't go anywhere. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And hope you enjoy the show. All right. Usually we start off with some rock news, but it's been a little slow this week. Alan had something he posted.
George Martin, age 90, also known as the Fifth Beatle, passed away earlier this week.
Yep.
And
he produced 700. Was it 700 albums, I said?
It was a bunch.
Really?
It was a bunch.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
And he was doing shit on these four-track machines sounding great. You know, here's guys with Pro Tools with infinite numbers of tracks, and he's at a four-track. You know,
I saw a little cartoon where it said it's George Martin. Did you post that?
Four tracks. I think we both probably posted it.
Yeah. I've done more with a four-track than anybody's done with Pro Tools.
Yeah, that's fun.
It's pretty cool. And then we lost the gentleman from Emerson, Lake and Palmer,
Keith
too, right?
Keith Emerson.
So, right. But I think there must have been something going on there, because I think that was not a
it was a suicide,
death by natural causes. So, doesn't appear. But that seems to be weak. Okay, this is getting a little grim. We keep talking about dead people.
2016, the year the rock and roll died.
The ages of rock.
Did we talk about Whatchamacallit from AC/DC last week? Or was that?
Oh, Brian Johnson.
Yeah, Brian Johnson.
It was right when we recorded the show. It was the same day.
Yeah.
We talked about it a little bit. Yeah. Crazy. All right. So I think the plan today is we're going to kind of go through each album. And then kind of just talk about, you know, what we kind of liked, what we didn't like, and anything that we know about it. I'll start off with kind of give a little background on the album, and we'll see how this works. But so the first Kiss album came out in on March 18th, 1974, which is just around the corner, right? So that's Thursday, coming up, right? Yeah. It charted at a skyrocketed to 87 on the charts, and I believe it's still just at a gold status. I did a little research, and I didn't see that it had gone platinum yet, which kind of surprises me because, as we're going to talk about in a little bit, the tours they do today is mostly that album.
The thing about that album is, how many times have you replaced your 8-track, your cassette, your vinyl, you know, the CD that got dropped down between the car seat and you stepped on trying to get to it, or, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So that song, I mean, that album had some amazing stuff on it. Anybody want to talk about, do we want to go through a track list? Is that what we want to try to go through that?
Sure.
I mean, everybody's kind of on the same page.
You got
page,
them up, or I've got it.
Yeah, I got them up.
Okay.
Yeah. So we got some songs you've probably heard of before, right? So we got Strutter. Right.
Yep.
We got Nothing to Lose.
Right.
We got Firehouse, Cold Gin, Let Me Know, Kissin' Time. That's a song that nobody's ever heard of. Right. Deuce, Love Theme from Kiss, 100,000 Years, and Black Diamond.
Right.
Great show closer. Black Diamond was a blank.
Exactly.
Three.
Well, and, you know, off this album, off of the original Kiss album, you know, there were three albums before Alive 1. Seven songs off of this album was on Alive 1. You know, that's a chunk.
That's a lot.
You know, except for Love Theme, Kissin' Time, and Let Me Know, everything else was on the live album and is probably in the set list tomorrow.
anywhere they're appearing, those seven songs will be You'll be hearing those at for sure.
Yeah, I originally had this on 8-track. This was the one, I think this one and Paul Stanley's solo album is the only two that I had on 8-track. But I got this one after I originally got, I think, Destroyer first, and I got Alive one, and then I got this one. And I just remember when I got it, the production of this album was not the finest in the world. You know, it was a very muddy, very gritty recording. You know, it wasn't...
You know, you bring up production, and that's one thing that I hear a lot of Kiss fans speak of the first two albums about, how the production is so, for lack of a better term, shitty.
Right. You know?
But in my opinion, that's the way I first heard those albums. That's right. Part of the charm of that album for me.
True, true.
And I think if they, you know, they don't have access to the tracks, they can't go back in, they can't remix them or remaster them or whatever, you know. And I think if they did that, for me, those albums would lose something.
True.
So, in my opinion, leave them the way they are. They're perfect.
But if you take the first... Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I totally agree. I didn't get into the first album until later. My first album too was Destroyer, and then Alive 2. Then I kind of started going back and getting into some stuff. So I didn't really get into the first Kiss album for a while. But I like it. I just listened to it the other day, and I like the fact that it is not produced. It's not overproduced. It's not it doesn't sound like they went back and redid tracks four or five times. It's not perfect.
No, it's and very like grainy. Right.
I like
too.
That part of it. I really do. To me, it was very authentic.
Right.
They were a band. They put them in a studio. Here's how much money we have, which isn't much. Go. Mm-hmm. And what you got out of it was, here we are 40 some odd years later, and
they're playing
talking
the same
about
seven
it.
Songs.
And they're playing, and it's, you know, and they're playing half the songs. I mean, so call it what you want. Great.
No,
stuff.
Like I say, it is raw as it gets. I mean, it is, like you said, it doesn't get any rawer. But, you know, like you said, there is some, and I've actually heard some demos. There's some demos floating around of some of these. Well, it's on the box set. You know, there's some demos on there where they've messed up, and there's some, you know, they redid a few things.
Well,
you know,
some of those demos were better recorded than the albums were.
That's true. That's true too. I thought that was interesting. And but no, like you said, this first album for it's almost like GNR's first album. I mean, this is the meat and potatoes of their show 40 years later. I mean,
I didn't know for a long, long time that Kissin' Time was not their song.
You know? See, I didn't. Yeah,
yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah. I had no idea.
That was a cover song.
I never cared much for it anyway.
That they didn't want to do.
Well, wasn't Love Theme?
We're going to record it, but we're not going to put it on the album.
But wasn't Love Theme from Kiss, wasn't that originally the Acrobat or part of Acrobat?
Yeah, that was because they used to perform that one live in the early days.
And I've heard that. I've seen some bootleg videos, and there's some stuff. For, it's, you know, it's got parts of it, but it's a really...
The only thing that I don't like about the very first album is the way they end Black Diamond. Dragging that thing out, it just drives me bonkers.
That's true.
When they redid that for Double Platinum and took that out, that improved that song so much.
And what was sad was I had it on 8-track. No way to fast forward through that. You had, unless you went to a different track. You know, it's like, like I said, it takes forever. It's like,
Of course, you know, back in the days that they did that, they did it just to mess with whoever. Oh, my God, my record player's messed up.
Yep. All right. Second album that they did, and as, you know, us that are Kiss fans know, they were pumping albums out about as quick as you possibly could. Yeah. So the second Kiss album was Hotter Than Hell. Came out in October 22nd of 1974. So, just right at 7 months later. I think I got that wrong. I think actually the first Kiss album came out in February, not March. Mm-hmm. I can't read. So anyway, it was about 8 months later. It skyrocketed up the charts to a lofty 100. And is also to my knowledge still gold, has not reached platinum status. For me, it's one of those albums that just track listing first here, right? So let's get that track listing up, see what that is. and we'll go from there. So we have on this album, so we've got some heavy hitters again, right, that you're going to hear a little bit, you know, if you go see them today. Got to Choose, Parasite, Going Blind, Hotter Than Hell, title track, Let Me Go Rock and Roll, All the Way, Watching You, Mainline, Coming Home, and Strange Ways. Some interesting stuff on this album. A little bit different, but
It's a darker album.
You got
with Watching You and Parasite, and I mean, there's just some Going Blind. I mean, there's some
Strange Ways. Yeah,
Strange Ways. It's a little darker. And the thing is that for a sophomore album, it actually sounds worse than the first album. The production value on this album, I don't know if it's because it was done so quick after the fact, but I think that it sounds worse than the first album. I mean, as far as the mix on it, and it sounds real light. It's real tinny sounding, but that's just me.
Yeah, you're that guy, aren't you?
Yeah. Actually, and I want to apologize for...
There's a lot of people like that, though.
Oh, yeah.
But I want to apologize for only going gold, because this is the only album that I can say I have never bought this album. Sorry. Never.
Did you not know they're one album, one record sale away from...
It was one of those ones where I went back, you know, started buying them. I bought Kiss, and I had Dress to Kill. It was one of those ones I just never did. And actually, you know, I never even heard like Mainline and some of the odder songs on this. I never even heard them until years later. You know, I was like, oh, that's that song. Okay. Just for some reason, it was one that I never really wanted to pick up.
Well,
you know,
this was Hotter Than Hell is actually my all-time favorite Kiss album.
Really?
Okay. But, wow. It was probably the third or fourth Kiss album that I ever got, and I got it on 8-track from the Salvation Army. Wow. And tax and all, I paid a whopping 53 cents for it.
Wow.
And the ironic thing about it is I had an 8-track player in my car, and I popped it out of the thing and set it on my dash and forgot about it.
Melted that bad.
It melted. Yeah. But actually, the first song that I ever recorded as a musician in a professional studio, right, was my band Chowder Monkey did a cover of Strange Ways.
Cool.
Yeah.
Actually, when Amy from the last show, the first time we got together, we did Got to Choose.
Speaking of Amy, she did an excellent job last week.
She did.
Great job.
She did. It was a lot of fun. Like,
and we will be having her back.
Kelly shared it on her page, and she was like going, darn it, now people from work are going to see me acting really stupid. And I told Kelly, I was like going, she was the one that looked a lot better than we did. She was concise and everything, and I'm all like, boo. No, she did a real good job.
So maybe I'll get us a few more listeners.
Yeah, so back to Hotter Than Hell, my all-time favorite. I don't think there is a stinker on that whole album. I love the whole thing.
No, there's some good songs on here. I mean, I like that darker stuff. Like,
and a lot of that stuff, how many of those songs ended up on the MTV Unplugged?
Oh, Unplugged?
Quite a bit.
Yeah, there was a good chunk of this album that was on that. So
yeah.
Well, and we were talking, Bill and I were talking earlier, this here, Hotter Than Hell, the original Kiss had 7 songs on a live one. Hotter Than Hell had 5. So a big chunk of this
album. That's over half of Alive right there.
So this big album here, or this album here, has got a lot of stuff on her. But like I said, I always liked Got to Choose, but you know, I love Parasite and I love Watching You. I think those two songs are two of their best songs.
Actually, if you ask anybody that's learning how to play guitar and what Kiss song they learn first, they usually, you know, learn Parasite.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've had guitar, at least that's what I've been told. I mean, I've been told that by numerous people that have taught guitar, that's if they're going to teach a kid a Kiss song. Actually, well, my brothers, I think, learned them.
It riffs hard.
That riff is like 4 notes, and it is so hard to play.
Yeah, it is.
Play it on a bass, it's even harder. but the whole song is awesome. It's got a good groove to it, and everybody plays. It's not just, you know, the Gene Simmons of now who plays more root notes than he does the melodies.
Well, and that's why I was going to bring that up to you on the first, well, even on the
or
first.
I should say Gene of the 80s, not Gene of now.
That's why I like the first 3 albums, and just for that reason, Alan. Gene is a very good bass player. He's very, very underrated.
Gene is a monster bass player.
Now his bass playing, like you said, he just phones it in. But on these first 3 albums, if you just sit and concentrate and listen to the bass line on it, there's some kick-ass bass lines on that. I mean, a lot of groove to them. He's just really good. I mean, he pops, especially on like on the next one, "Dressed to Kill." There's some songs on there that the bass lines are just freaking phenomenal. And I always tell people, they always say, "Well, Gene, he's a hack." No, go back and listen to those first three albums.
Yeah,
and then come out and tell me he's a hack. He's not.
Just don't give him a 5-string bass.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I agree with you on that one.
All right. So I don't know. I don't know if I gave my opinion of this album or not.
Oh, go ahead.
I don't think you did.
I don't think I did. I think I got. I think I started.
Dennis and I kept interrupting you.
No, that's okay. I don't care. Yeah, this album for me was one of those that I didn't listen to this for a long time. I mean, it was like a long, long time. And honestly, I think it was because of the cover. I know that may sound stupid, but when I looked at the cover, I thought it just looked goofy. And now that it looks cool, but then back then it just kind of looked goofy. So it didn't.
Eric's arm or not Eric?
It just didn't look right. I just didn't really get into it at all. And then
you ever notice that Peter's arm looks like a boob? Like when he's got his hand up like that. It look if you look at it quick when you're like when you're yeah. That looks like a boob. I mean, look at Peter's hand on Paul's shoulder. It looks like a boob. When I was a kid, that's the first thing I go, my God, there's a tit on the front of that.
Oh, it does. I see what you're saying right here.
It does. Yeah.
Right there?
No. Yeah, there? Right. Yeah, right there. If you're 11 years old and you look at that, it's like, oh, my God, there's a tit on there. I mean, there's four guys.
But I just thought the back of this just looks goofy and cartoonish, and I'm like, what the hell? So,
well, see, I was never one that, oh, that album cover looks cool. I'm going to buy it, see how it sounds. You know, I have a lot of friends that's what drew them to an album was the artwork. I was like, I guess it's because I'm more of the musician than I am the artist because I couldn't draw water with a bucket.
Right.
So.
All right. So let's go. Number three. Let's see. Number three is one of my favorites, so I like number three. Actually, that is probably in my top three, actually. Album cover looks a lot like that, so if you can see that, you got the album cover.
And it'll be on the desert island when we go, because that was one of my
That is the desert island album for me. That's for sure.
I love that
album. So, let's see. Track listing. We got Room Service, Two Timer, Ladies in Waiting, Getaway, Rock Bottom, Come On and Love Me. Anything for my baby. She, Love Her All I Can, and let's see, probably heard of this last song, Rock and Roll All Night.
Yeah.
Live version though, much better than this version. On
absolutely.
The
yeah.
They just I don't know how they ended up out of that album picking that song to be the live song that they really launched their career. Right. But I think it was just the you know the words and stuff. But when you listen to it on the record, it's kind of like. This is just bad. But anyway, so Dressed to Kill came out in March of 1975, March 19th, which is right around the corner too.
Right.
It did debut pretty decently at 32. Okay. Or it made it to 32 on the charts. I don't know if it debuted there, but made it to 32. Still gold. Has not reached platinum status yet, as far as we know. Dennis has this one, so it's not Dennis's fault. Probably.
No, I have this one. Yeah, I have
probably Alan's, but we'll just blame somebody.
Well, I have them all except for the last two.
Okay, fine. Well, actually, they did really well, so they need your money anyway.
I have bought the CD and the record, so there you go. I bought two copies, so I covered.
Well, actually, Dressed to Kill. I think I have the CD. The record, tape.
Well, I have an aunt and uncle that are 11 years older than me, and you know I've mentioned before that a lot of the music that I got in my formidable years came from them, and "Dressed to Kill" was one of the records that she gave me.
Right.
So yeah, thanks, Cindy.
Yeah, there you go.
But another fact,
got some big stuff on it. One of my favorite Kiss songs is on this one. Two Timer is one of my favorites. I love that song. I don't know. It just to me, it's kind of the epitome of them. That this, I like that song.
I like Ladies in Waiting.
Never did it live. I would probably pass out. But
I like Ladies in Waiting. You know, you've been to the market and the meat looks good tonight. Oh, there you go. You know, that is lyrical genius.
Well, and see this album went from you go from Hotter Than Hell with those darker songs. To now this song, now they're starting to get into the Kiss that we know, the innuendos and the the kind of sexual lyrics, and I mean, this is when it kind
of
started.
Service,
you know,
room service is an example of that.
I mean, man, come on and love me, you know.
Room service, two-timer, yeah, they're all pretty much, yeah. A lot of innuendo there. Right. You know, the cool thing about this, I learned this the other day, that, you know, Bob Gruen did the photo for the cover. And
I posted that on the page. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Oh, you standing did? Did you not see that? It's
no,
like
I didn't.
They were holding up traffic, and there was this little,
yeah,
was this family standing there, like right
yeah
next to
oh
him.
Yeah, I saw
like
that picture. Yeah, yeah.
little guy, but little boy.
That's his. That's Bob Gruen's suit because Gene didn't have a suit.
Right.
That's why it's too small because they're not the same size guys.
That's funny.
I learned that the other day. It's pretty cool. But yeah, neat, great album. So
there
yeah
once again, Dressed to Kill. Out of those, five of those songs went to a live one.
Yeah.
So basically, off the first three albums, you had the original with seven, and the last two with five. So they're, you know, that's the whole Kiss Alive one. So each one of them had a huge chunk, you know, taken out of it. Yeah. I think it interesting too is Dressed to Kill. You got a couple of Wicked Lesser songs that pop up on this album,
right?
You know, yep, that were and that
and Love Her All I Can.
And I
had to think for a minute. Uh oh.
Yeah, Love Her All I Can. And another song I like on here too that's just different is Anything for My Baby. I like that song a lot. I think that's good.
Yeah, because they did. They started it out with the chorus.
All right.
Yeah.
And then you got what? Ace, is this Getaway was his first song he wrote?
No.
Ace wrote that, didn't he? Peter sang it.
Cold Ace, Gin. Ace
oh, I'm sorry. Cold, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But Getaway,
he
I do
wrote
like
Parasite.
Right. Okay, sorry.
Now, you know, a lot of people, you know, Rock and Roll Over has been played into the dirt, and a lot of people are sick of it. I am one of those people. I can tolerate it now more than I went for a long time that I refused to listen to it. But a lot of people dislike the version on Animalize Live Uncensored, but I love that version. It's a little faster. It's a little more energetic to me. You know, of course, that was also when I was 14 and a very impressionable young man there, I guess. But right, I really like that version.
This is was this Peter Criss's debut lead vocal?
No,
he was.
No.
We're both going to get called out.
He sang Black Diamond on the first album.
Oh, that's right. Gosh dang!
Strange Ways.
I can't wait. We're going to get hammered. I can't wait. I'm going to get hammered.
It's like you guys need to do your homework.
I can't
wait.
Oh my
gosh.
I just, you know, there's just, I'm, there's so many. It gets confusing.
50. We don't know. Shit. I forget where I'll
even put my, you know,
keys
if
at.
I got to purge, if I got to purge shit out of my brain, I, you know, that's probably something that's going to get purged.
Yeah.
But, so funny.
All right. I'm not saying another word.
Yeah, there's, I ain't either. I ain't no more facts for Dennis.
All right. This episode must be over.
I'm going to say maybe.
Maybe.
I'm just going to go, you suck. All right. So,
Dress to Kill is awesome. I could agree on that.
Yeah. So let's go with let's go to Alive, which that really finally put them on the map.
Right.
Came out in 2000. Yeah.
2000. Maybe 2000 something.
Holy cow.
1970 in it's September of 75, right, and it got to number nine.
Wow.
So their first top 10 album. It has sold over 4 million copies. So it is four times platinum at least. Could be more now. I don't know. But, and you know, gosh, let's see. We talked about the track list, but it's just gigantic, right?
Is ginormous the word you were looking for?
I was actually going to say that, but it really isn't a word, and I want to get corrected.
Hey, this is our show. We can make words up if we want.
Like I was saying. But so you got Deuce, Strutter, Got to Choose, Hotter Than Hell, Firehouse, nothing on side one. Side two was Nothing to Lose, Come On and Love Me, Parasite, She. Side three, Watching You, 100,000 Years of Black Diamond. They put all the long songs together.
Right.
And then side four was Rock Bottom, Cold Gin, Rock and Roll Night, and Let Me Go Rock and Roll. And, you know, that is, when you look back at album covers, and we've all done that, you know, that's,
right,
I think that's what set this band apart. I mean, really, when you think about album covers, and right, I know people listening to this show are going to know this, but watching the show, but that is a wicked album cover.
Yes.
And it's, Yeah, it's just cool. They did cool stuff with it, you know?
Not the best gatefold, but it's got a great
not the best gatefold.
Cover. Yeah.
It's interesting that these guys are still around. I saw an article with them not long ago.
And they still have that poster, too.
And they still have that banner, which is really cool. That kind of just
explain
set it
to me,
off.
Though, on that, explain that front cover, though. Ace's guitar is flipped around upside down. Do you ever notice that? That always bugged me as a guitar player. It's like, why would you ever be in that position? There's no reason.
Trying to see around. I can't see.
Yeah. Well, look.
Yeah, who knows?
Look at Ace. It's faced frontwards.
It's upside down, sideways, and catty cornered. How's that?
Yeah. Why would you? I've never been in that position, and I don't know why you would ever be in that position. It always bugged me.
So you're saying he's not playing in that pose right there? That's just a pose.
Well, actually,
you don't think he didn't switch hands just to?
That photo is about as authentic as the live recording is. And I'll stop right there.
I was waiting for that.
You know what? I wonder if they did that because they wanted to make sure that if this album did well and they showed those instruments on the front, they get some money.
That's because they use Gibson and Pearl because they want the best.
Yeah, no, that's the only thing I have thought about that, and I thought that was probably the only thing that made it that way. But it just always, as a guitar player, it always bugged me. It's like, why does he do that? You know?
Yeah, and most kids that are brilliant see that right there. I put tape on my album cover with my name on it because I'm a moron.
You know.
Or because I loaned it to my buddies, I didn't want to get it, but I wanted to make sure I got it back.
Well, when we were kids, who would ever have thought, you know, this might be collectible someday?
No, I used my shit. I took the plastic off.
Absolutely.
And threw them around on the floor. You know, I was in
there. I had a Kiss belt buckle. You know, it just disappeared. You know, I never thought about it at the time.
Well, I got an original
one. If I still had that belt buckle today, you know, it'd be worth like $50 or something. I don't know what they're worth.
Find somebody to buy it.
I don't know what they're worth, but if I had that belt buckle, I would keep it.
Yeah.
I never bought anything or was, as a kid, I never treated anything as it was going to be collectible. You know, I used it. It's like I always wanted, not to change subject, I always wanted an Evel Knievel crank thing.
Kelly had one of those.
I never had one. Always wanted one. Kelly looked them up on eBay, was going to buy me one. You know how much they are now?
Like $400. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I was going to get you one. I said, no, don't waste your money.
I never had a magic kit when I was a kid, and I always wanted one.
TV magic kit? I did.
And this is why I learned not to tell people what I wanted when I was a kid, because they get it for you as an adult. And I have a magic kit that has been in my closet over here. I've been married for 22 years now, so it's been in my closet for probably 20 years. Because her mom found out that I wanted a magic kit when I was 12. So she bought me one when I was 32 or something.
But it means so much to you.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right.
But getting back to it. But there again, like you said, this album is the best live album that isn't a live album. Now that we know. Well, we know it now. But
right. I will have to say, though, however they managed to doctor this up, the energy that I perceive, and maybe it's because I always thought it was a live album, but the energy that I perceive from this album, they did a good job of making it seem like it was.
Oh, hell yeah.
Of course, I think some aspects of it were live.
The drums, they said, were, I mean, the drums are live. They couldn't really, you can't really change that.
Right.
They went back and doctored the vocals up, they doctored the guitars up, and then they, added some more background noise and stuff like that.
Well, they
you can watch those videos from from the actual concert. There's videos out, and it doesn't match the album at all. You could tell. But there again, at that time they were high energy. They weren't trying to do the quality. You know, they were out jumping around and all that crap.
Before we take a break here, in my opinion, however they doctored Let Me Go Rock and Roll,
right,
they ended that album perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because when I get done, even to this day, when I get done listening to a live one, I'm wound up after Let Me Go Rock and Roll is over.
Yeah. Here's a good question. They left you hanging, that's for sure.
Right. Here's a good question. Of that album, the four sides of that album, which side did you play? What was your go-to side? if you went and grabbed the album and you just went through it on her, what did you usually went to? What was your?
I usually go to the first one because I know almost all of those songs on bass and like to play along.
Okay. Mine would have been first or second. I liked the first album,
right,
front and back, really. Yeah,
I have a,
but I thought 100,000 years just went on too long. Just like it felt like 100,000 years. I'm like, but, dude, end this. You end it. Kill me.
Well, I kind of did that on that was third side, and I would listen to Watching You, and then I'd lift the needle up, skip over 100,000 years, and then I go back into Black Diamond because I like those two songs. Yeah. But I like the one I did like the side two though. I like Nothing to Lose, Come On Love Me, Parasite Live is just, I mean, that's one of my favorite songs live.
Absolutely.
And then She, you know, She was good too. So it's just it, but that was kind of my go to side was two and maybe parts of three.
Yeah, I think Ace is doing Parasite on the new on his tour he's doing now too.
Cool.
Which I would think it'd be cool to see him do that, you know, mm-hmm. in a different setting would be cool.
Right.
Be right. All right, so we're gonna take a short break. You probably won't even notice that we're gone, but we'll be right back. And we're back. Okay. So we had to take a little break because
I had to go shove my meat
rack.
A rack of meat in a smoker.
In a cooker. There
we
go.
I'm making ribs.
We'll clean it up a little bit.
Dirty minded people.
All right. So we've been through the first four albums, and now we're going to start on an album that really got things rolling for them after Alive, which was Destroyer. Destroyer came out in March 15th of 1976. It's sold over 2 million records so far, probably maybe more than that by now, I don't know. And it made it to number 11. So they had a number 9 and a number 11. So I would say they're on their way, right? Things look like it's going pretty good. That album has got some if I'm not mistaken, let's see. It's a Bob Ezrin album, right?
Right.
And you can tell produced more produced, overproduced, and produced some more. But it's got some great, got some really good stuff on it. Some of the stuff is not my favorite stuff, but I do think it's got some, you know, pretty good songs on it. This was my first Kiss album, so
mine as well.
It's hanging right back there on the wall somewhere, one of those two places. I can't move my arm, and that got me started. A buddy of mine let me listen to that in class at school one day. We could bring in records. One of our teachers would let us, and that I was hooked from that day forward.
My babysitter bought that for me for my birthday.
Yep.
And then, best babysitter ever.
On.
I had actually went over to my neighbor's house, and he actually had Alive 1, and I listened to a couple songs off that, and I'm like, who are they? And I saw that cover, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I need to get this album. So I had my mom take me to Tell City to the P. and Hirsch department store to buy that album. Well, of course, they didn't have that, but they had Destroyer. So I went, okay, I'll buy it. You know, it's got to be good. So I bought that and then took it home, and then that was it, you know. But you know what was really funny was that my friend, who was a couple years older than me, who liked Kiss and had a live one, didn't like Destroyer.
Yeah, there's
he
most,
didn't like.
Most
he
people
was
who
like,
were
oh my God,
fans did, of the first three albums didn't like it because it was like so it slickly all. Produced.
Yeah,
it was very produced. Right. I would like to. I mean, I think that it would be interesting to see, to hear some of, to have heard some of those songs not produced like that.
Right.
That were stripped down more.
Have you heard any of those demos?
I've heard some of the demos, and I do kind of like the demos better.
Yeah.
I like the, because it's, again, it's more of the older stuff, which it's raw. It's not got stuff just you know layered on top of layers on top of layers.
The only one I've ever heard that was, I heard, well, the God of Thunder with Paul singing, and it's got a little bit more fast.
Disco,
it's got
beat.
A fast, yeah, disco beat to it, which I didn't care much for. But, you know, anything Bob Ezrin has a handle on, it's not going to be simple. It's not going to be underproduced. You know, Bob Ezrin is the king of.
and it's not going to be who's in the band that's going to play that song. It's going to be who can play that song the best.
You got Dick Wagner playing Sweet Pain. You know, that's not Ace on that solo. You know, they've already, that's been widely known. You know, Dick Wagner from the Alice Cooper band played that.
Right.
No. Matter of fact, I always liked that story where, I guess, Dick came out of the studio and Ace come walking in. He goes, well, how did I play it? He goes, you did okay. You know, basically, he knew it, you know. But that's when Ace was not showing up. The start of him not showing up for things. And
yeah.
So anyway.
So a track listing for this album, Detroit Rock City. Right. Very unique opening on that record. One of the most unique openings I've ever heard.
And that's Gene, still to this day.
Mm-hmm. Yep. King of the Nighttime World, God of Thunder, Great Expectations, Flaming Youth, Sweet Pain, Shout Out Loud, Beth, my favorite Kiss song, Do You Love Me?
I like that one too.
Not my favorite version, but my favorite Kiss song. And Rock and Roll Party, which I don't even remember that.
It's that thing that goes, that chanting rock and roll at the party end. Tonight. Ooh, great. And it's got, you know, that's the thing is the two ending
really
songs.
Don't remember that.
You don't?
No. Oh, I swear to God, I don't remember that. Listen, I'm digging the record out right now.
No, it's right here. I got it on my. It's got Great Expectations kind of in the background of it. And it's like, you hear Paul.
So that's not, okay, that's, oh, it's not a track listing.
It's not a song. It's just a
bunch
of. That's
why I was looking at it. I'm like, I do not remember that.
No. But you know what? That album ended with two kind of crappers. It ended with that, you know, the side two ended with that one. And, you know, I was never big Great Expectations. I never
cared for it.
Never cared for that. The only time I really.
Well, you guys are wrong, but that's okay. I still like it.
The, you know, though, when they did Symphony, and Gene sang that there, they had the little kid choir come out. Wasn't that Symphony?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah.
Now, that was cool. That's the only time that I really got that song and kind of enjoyed it. When you're sitting here, you just, you know, you Detroit and God of Thunder and then Great Expectations. What the hell?
Yeah, it's out of place on that album. Death is out of place on that album.
Right.
But yeah, it would have been good for the last song.
Yeah. And you don't think
as we talked about albums go before, Do You Love Me is not the last song. Should not have been the last song on that, but whatever. You know, the other thing about this album too, so this is this artwork is is a big thing, right? So that was Ken Kelly that did this, and he's done a lot of other artwork.
Good Love Gun.
Back a few years ago, he did a newer version of this, kind of
apocalyptic. That's the word I was looking for.
What was that?
That artwork is apocalyptic.
Yeah, very apocalyptic. and really pretty cool for the time. And I had a puzzle with this art, with this on there. I've had, just a ton of stuff. I had the Destroyer van,
which, going back to things that are collectible, if I had known in 1978 or 1979 when I got that how collectible it was going to be, I never would have taken it out of the box. Heck, I put that thing together, got the decals on wrong, and used it as a toy.
What was in the?
I don't remember. I know Love Gun had that little pop gun. What was in Destroyer? I don't remember.
I don't think there was anything in it. I think you had an order sheet.
Well, yeah, you had that sleeve.
You always had an order sheet, but the inside sleeve was different.
Right.
So it's really hard. It's really
basically not, had what Detroit Rock City lyrics on the front.
Yeah,
on
and then this side just got a Shout Out Loud demo thing.
But there wasn't a poster or anything in that, was there?
I don't think there was. No, I don't remember there being anything. There probably was a Kiss Army.
I think there was a
mail list,
and then, you know, to order T-shirts, belt buckles, that bullshit.
Yeah, but there was. Oh, you could always order a Kiss gold neck or a Kiss necklace. <Yeah.
laughs> That'd turn your neck green.
Yeah, I guarantee it.
I actually had a Motley Crue necklace that did that.
Them cheap bastards. Real quick,
well,
you were talking
like
about that
$5. What do you expect?
That you were talking about that Ken Kelly. Was that the resurrected Destroyer cover that he did with the kind of the reddish background?
Yeah.
Was that him?
Yeah, a little bit different background. Yeah.
That's cool. I actually bought that. Well, I didn't buy the – I bought the iTunes version of that because I wanted
to. So how did the artwork look on the iTunes version?
You don't get it. That's the whole point.
Oh, come on.
About that big.
Yeah. The big disappointment.
Not that big.
But, you know, that rebuying that album again was a joke. I mean, really, the remixes, you know, they call them the 2012 remixes. And, that, you know, they even have Sweet Pain with the original guitar solo. It doesn't sound much different than the first one. You know,
well, the Ace version, you know, I've got friends who are diehard Ace friends, so I'm going to go ahead and apologize to you fellas now. But for those of y'all who thought Ace's solo was smoking, you were smoking something with Ace.
Right.
I thought that solo was terrible. I can play that solo, and I cannot play a solo.
Right. On which one are you talking about? Sweet Pain?
Resurrected, yeah.
Oh.
The Sweet Pain.
Oh, the original. Okay, I got you. Because Dick Wagner actually played that. That was Ace didn't even play on that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway. All right. But I was asking about that King Kelly thing. But yeah, you know, Destroyer, I mean, that one there probably got more fans because, you know, a live one blew up and then everybody was looking for their next album. And this one here was the one that clinched the fandom of a lot of people, I think, are getting, you know, bringing fans in.
And I think Destroyer was probably when the cracks started appearing.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, you're exactly. You know, that's when the.
Yeah.
And I think all four of them shoulder responsibility in that. And I also think that, and of course, you can't really blame Bob Ezrin, but no. I think because he was the kind of producer he is, that, well, you're not going to play that because you're not doing it right. And that's not my vision, you know. And I think that's when there's a lot of that, you know, well, if my contributions aren't as important, then maybe I need to go do my own thing.
But, you know, you hear all the stories now about Bob Ezrin. You know, he was, you know, the wrangler. You know, he was the one with the whistle and the coach and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, there's also stories of, you know, Bob bringing cocaine and shit into the studio, which, you know, that doesn't help Ace or Peter whatsoever. You know, and I'm surprised Gene, as much as he was, you know, he was so against that shit that, you know, he actually worked with Bob again. You know what I'm saying? Unless Bob got his crap straight.
Well, you know, I think, you know, you have to think about it too. So think how old were these guys, right?
Right.
So it's 1970. It's 1976, right?
Right. Right.
So, you know, actually, it wasn't even 1976. You know, they made the album in 1975.
Sure, it was
right because it took 3 months for it to get out and stuff. So it probably happened in late 75, is what I would guess, is when the recordings were. I could be wrong, but they, you know, so how old were these guys? They're not more 30, you know, right? They were all 20 something.
Oh yeah,
Ace was 22.
Probably, yeah.
Probably in that
mid 20s, probably 20.
Maybe a little older, but not terribly older. So
no,
you know,
well, Peter Criss would have been about 29.
Yeah, right. So he'd have been the oldest.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that's part of it. You know, I think that's part of, you know, the demons, you know, that came out during that time is that was, you know, their part of it was their age and maturity. And
they came from a lot of, you know, Ace and them. They came from
a lot of different places.
Didn't have a lot of money. And then all of a sudden you're throwing these guys are the top, you know, top of the hill. Okay, what do you want? What do you want to buy? What do you want? You know, and they're just.
Right.
Oh, they're just. And then they got them on the road, you know, they're just touring the shit.
All the time, yeah. I mean,
they're just ragging these guys out. You come in, do a studio album, and then get your ass back out on the road, you know. That's how they got their fan base. I mean, they toured and toured and toured and toured, you know.
Yeah. So
anyway.
I don't know what my son's doing upstairs, but it sounds like he's about to fall through the roof.
I heard that. I'm like, what was that? Are we going to have an earthquake?
The sonic boom.
I think we're having one.
Sonic boom. No, we're not up to that album. That'll be in a later episode.
We're not going
episode.
There. We're not going there today. All right. So let's see. We're going to go to now, this is not an original album, obviously, that came out. But in July of 76, The Originals, which it is an original album, but it's not part of the – you know, other albums that did come out. They re-released all three of the first albums together as one package deal.
Right.
And kind of unique that they did that. It was kind of weird.
It had a booklet, didn't it? It had a booklet with it.
You know, it probably did. Right. And actually, this version
had a
I have two versions.
I remember it had like a version. It had like a. Kind of a history of it, and it had some pictures of like some tickets and shit like that. So it didn't have the hardcovers, it just had sleeves in.
Yeah, so this version is missing Dress to Kill.
See, I've never had the originals. I wanted to get it.
So I believe the Dress to Kill is in my
that's that version shitty version. That is a shitty version now.
my version that's in plastic in there.
Oh, and I'm sure the albums are in perfect condition.
Oh
right?
My gosh, they look like they cats were tap dancing on them.
Yeah, but I never bought this. These were given to me because I didn't think there was a reason to buy them because I had the other ones. There was like, what was the purpose of that? It made no sense. It's like, instead of making a greatest hits album and put them all on one thing, you just re-release all three of them in a different box. So
maybe they were just trying to hit that multi-platinum thing.
I think they were trying to resurrect and sell more records of the first ones, and that was the way to do it.
Right.
Okay, so does it make you wonder, were there a bunch of the first three albums that were laying around that didn't sell?
Possibly.
And that's a very good question.
Back in that day, was a way to get was to sell those was you could let's repackage those and sell them differently after Alive did really well, and now you got Destroyer that's done really well. And how do you get those first three albums to sell more of those copies? It's very possible. I've been watching that movie Vinyl on HBO, and it's pretty interesting because it all takes place in the 70s, and it's really interesting how people would go and people would buy records from distributors, so it looked like people in the record industry would go and buy music of their artist from the manufacturers to make it look like there were more records sold than were really sold.
Right.
It just really kind of cool. So it makes me wonder if there was something with that record that happened. I could be totally off, but
I got two questions about that. I don't know if you can answer either. I mean, maybe I'll answer one of them. Was the originals is whenever say like they sold an original, did it count as one of each of the albums, or was the originals counted as an album itself? You know what I'm saying?
Well, would it
add to one sale of the Kiss first one, Kiss, Hotter Than Hell and Dressed to Kill?
Or I don't know, is it there's no sale information about the originals.
That, so I'm wondering if that added
this particular
to the
album. Right. I don't see any.
And my other.
Well, I bet you at least one of our listeners will know that information.
Yeah, I'd be curious. And
if you do know that, rather than send us a message, put something on our Facebook page or a comment on our YouTube channel and give us that information.
Yeah.
And here's my other question. At that time when that came out, was it cheaper to buy the originals than to go back and buy the other three albums? Or was it the same price? I'm curious. I don't remember. I remember it being – I don't remember how much it was back then. I remember seeing it at the store, but I'm like you. I just like, why would I want this? I've already got – I had two of the three. I didn't have
– I think if I remember right, like if I
– was it like $10 at the time?
I think Alive 2 was like 12 bucks. Is that right?
I remember Destroyer for $5. I remember it was about $5. And I think Alive 1 at the time was around $8, $9.
Okay, maybe. Okay, yeah.
So that's Alive 1. Now, by the time Alive 2 came out, it may have been. But I wonder if the originals, was it, say, $15 or was it $12? You know what I'm saying? Was it cheaper to buy the originals than to go back and buy the first three albums?
I don't know. I'm curious about that. That's got to be on here somewhere.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm just curious.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to find out. Mm-hmm. All right. So, So our next album that actually got released was in November in November of 76. It actually went platinum. This is Alan's least favorite Kiss album because he hates it, right? And it actually went to number 11. So they were, they started to have some. Some pretty good success with this run of records. And again, this is right where we're peaking. I mean, this is the peak of popularity. That's Rock and Roll Over. And I just listened to this the other day. I listened to the first Kiss album and Rock and Roll Over and Dressed to Kill like back to back. And I thought this had some really good stuff on it. I like it. I like this album. So I Want You, Take Me, Calling Dr. Love, Ladies Room, Baby Driver, which is kind of a weird song, but I liked it. Love 'em and Leave 'em, Mr. Speed, See You in Your Dreams, Hard Luck Woman, and Making Love. And I think there's some really good songs on there and some stuff I've seen live that I really, really like.
All right. Well, Rock and Roll Over is not in my top five, but it does have my all-time favorite Kiss song, that's Calling Dr. Love.
Yeah.
But overall, I mean, I think that album is fantastic from beginning to end.
Yeah.
I thought you didn't like it.
You thought wrong.
Oh, my fault.
No, I was
I just thought you were being a smartass.
No, that's what you said earlier. I missed it.
No.
No, I was actually listening to this thing earlier, and I texted Bill, and I go, man, this record kicks ass. I mean, this one here is so it's a close second to Dressed to Kill. I mean, this is probably my second favorite album, and on some days it may be my favorite album. It just depends on what kind of mood I'm in.
Right.
But I was just telling Bill earlier, the reason being, you know, this was out in 76, right? You know, I was 11 years old. I remember buying this album, and I remember listening. Every song just brings back memories of when I was a kid. I remember what I was doing when I was, you know, listening to this song. And it's, I mean, it's one of those ones. It's more of a nostalgia thing, I think, that helps it be that much of a popular album for me. But, I mean, there's some great songs on here. I mean, Making Love is a great live. You know, I've seen them do that, you know, on some of the old videos. But I Want You, I mean, that is that's a Paul song. I mean, that song is so cool.
Well,
great.
I have a funny story to, well, it's funny to me. After you're done saying your piece, I got something to say about the song Making Love.
Oh, go ahead. Knock yourself out.
Do you ever listen to that song with headphones on?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you ever notice, a lot of the songs that Paul sang, he double tracked.
Oh, yeah.
And when you hear him at the end when he's going Making Love and he's, you can hear in both ears, it's a different take. You know, awesome. And like it goes up a little higher in this one than it gets in this one. You know, they're not in sync, I guess you would say. And the first time I noticed that, it really struck me as odd, because that's when I realized, hey, he's singing on there twice.
And there again, you got your classic Kiss, you know, Take Me, you know, Put Your Hand in My Pocket, Grab Onto My Rocket, you know.
What does that mean?
I'll tell you after the show. You have I'll draw you a picture. But Ladies Room, I mean, it's just the Love 'Em and Leave 'Em. I mean, how great is that? I mean, that's just blatant. Great. That's just perfect Kiss, though.
So. You know, and to me, this album, I like this album a lot better than Destroyer. I mean, I liked some of the stuff on Destroyer, but I liked it a lot better than Destroyer, because this to me sounded a lot more like the first couple albums.
Well, they went back to basics.
It wasn't produced. It was just, yeah. This album, I like this album.
They went from, I mean, they and the thing that made it so much difference was, you know, you went from Bob Ezrin in a studio overdubbing. Yeah, Rock and Roll Over was and Rock and Roll Over was recorded in a theater. I mean, they actually kind of half-ass recorded it live. I mean, it was kind of on a stage and they recorded it in a theater. And I've read some things about Ace. You know, Ace was using like these little bitty Fender little combo little bitty amps. They were just micing the shit out of it, you know, just rolling them up. That's why they got how they were getting that sound. But no, why Rock and Roll Over is almost a back to basics good rock album. Yeah, I like it. It's just, you know, it's top one for me.
I agree. All right, so let's see, that came out in November. Mm-hmm. So to this point, we have had, let's see, two albums in 74, two albums in 75, two albums in 76. Actually, three if you count the originals. And now we're going to get to 77. So 77, we had Love Gun came out in June of 77.
Right.
It went so far the highest album yet to this date. To that date, for Kiss, which was number four on the charts. It went platinum. That album for me was did it. I everything about it was
except
there's a couple of douchey songs on there too.
there's a couple songs on there, but for the most part, I thought this album was pretty cool. I did like it quite a bit.
Two songs off it's perfect.
Yeah,
so I think we can all agree on one.
Yeah. So track listing, we have I Stole Your Love, which is a great live song that I think they should bring back.
They should start their shows with it.
Every time.
Yep.
Actually they did. You know, they had it in there for a while and they took it out and
they started on the Hot in the Shade tour with that, didn't they?
Yeah, I think so. Christine 16, which I think if you do that now, it's kind of pervish.
It's creepy. It is creepy when Gene does that song now. I'm sorry. I like the song. Don't get me wrong.
You just have to play. It's just a song now.
It's just freaking creepy. I mean, it should be like whenever I saw you walking out of the geriatrics building. It's of the high school.
Yeah. Got Love for Sale, Shock Me, Tomorrow and Tonight, Love Gun, Hooligan, Almost Human, Plaster Caster, and then she kissed me.
Don't even say the title of that. It doesn't even.
See, you can throw. I could throw Tomorrow and Tonight.
And I agree. Those are the two songs.
You know, as much as I liked
Tonight was too bad.
Yeah, as much as I liked, I love, you know, or I Stole Your Love and Love Gun. My favorite song off this album is Almost Human. That is a great Gene song. I mean, that's the demon at some of his best. You know, I think other than God of Thunder, that's probably his second best song he's done.
Well, I always wondered if Almost Human wasn't another attempt at a God of Thunder.
I think you're right on that. I mean, it's
actually I think the best Demon Gene song is Unholy.
Yeah,
yeah, I agree. Man,
he needs to do that song in makeup so bad, but and fall into that character that he was in 1975 and 76.
He's gonna dance around and do his little dancing thing, and you know his little. Just
God, I remember hearing that song for the first time going, he's back! And I was so happy because it was like, finally! And
the other one I'm going to throw in there just because we're talking about these Gene songs real quick is Hate off of Carnival.
So absolutely.
That song is another one. That's the demon. That is the demon. I mean, that's some tough shit there, you know?
You ain't gonna
see it now, you know.
Yeah, but I love that stuff. All right, yeah. So so you got Peter on another song here in Hooligan. Ace's best known song to date, probably. I mean, that's the song that gets played more than anything, which has shocked me. This album really launched. I mean, I think from a live. I didn't see them. I saw them on the tour for a live too, which we're going to talk about in a few minutes. But
wasn't the Love Gun tour though really live too?
It was. It was the same stage.
This is where the Love Gun stage was the one with the lighted staircases and all that.
Yeah.
So it was their best one. I mean, that's their most.
It was so. But you know this album, you know Plaster Caster, that was all written about what was that girl's name? Yeah. Pam somebody. Pam,
not you're thinking of Pamela DeMarnes, but it's not. It's not Pam. Pamela DeMarnes. This is a woman. This is a woman who made Plaster Paris copies of people's penises.
Genitalia.
Yeah,
but I thought there was some really good stuff on that one. I like it.
Well, for me, Love Gun is another one of those albums that it's not in my top five, but it is in my top ten. And like Dennis said earlier, I'm not a fan of Tomorrow and Tonight. I do not like the cover of And Then She Kissed Me at all. Of all of the Peter Criss sung songs, that's probably my least favorite, even though I still like the song. And Love Gun is my number two all-time favorite Kiss song.
Okay.
That's all I got to say about that.
Real quick. Cynthia Plaster Caster. Her last name was Caster. So she is the woman who was the Plaster Paris cast of famous persons, erect penises and breasts.
That's it. So where are those?
I guess she's a I don't know.
Don't want to know.
No,
it'd be
I mean,
cool
I
just, if she had a, you know, if she had a, if she had a, she's got a website.
You would think there would be, you would think though that would be like some kind of,
yeah,
in some kind of a museum of some type or in some kind of a.
Oh, I'd pay to see that. I mean, seriously, just to go like, oh, look at that one.
let's move along.
So are you saying that Gene's not
I've seen the video. It's not that impressive, trust me.
Schmeckle. I mean that so just anyway, sounds small.
We actually did real facts though this time. We actually got a name right.
Here we go.
Be proud of us.
All right, so let's get...
But anyway, right, so real quick while we were talking about that real fast though. Then She Kissed Me. Who was that? Who was the dumb shit who thought that was a good idea?
I'm telling you guys, Paul is a Motown. He's a Motown fanatic, and this Soul Station, you know, that's what they're doing is Motown hits.
I'll give you that.
So I think Paul was the one that was behind that.
But if you're going to do a Motown song,
why would you
do that? You've got a plethora of great songs you could pick, and you're going to pick you know, then she kissed me.
Are I mean, when I first, when that song first starts, I'm like, what the hell is that?
I mean, and there was a jaw drop. You're like, what the hell?
It's kind of like Twisted Sister doing Leader of the Pack.
Like, man, somebody stuck a shitty song on my album. What the hell happened? You know? I've been bootlegged.
You know, for me, the Twisted Sister thing was like Twisted Sister released something, so I thought it was kind of shitty anyway.
Well, there goes
I still love you, D.
I've never been a D. Snyder fan. I've always thought, I mean, I just haven't. So
that's quite all right.
It's all right. Everybody's got their thing, right?
All right.
So the last album we're going to talk about today is Kiss Alive 2. This came out in October of 1977. It went to number 7 on the charts. It was double platinum, so sold over 2 million records. And this for me was, I think, probably maybe the third album I bought. I think I got Destroyer first, then I got Love Gun, then I got Alive 3, and then I went back and got Rock and Roll Over. I think that's kind of how it came for me. I'm trying to remember, but I think I skipped – somehow I missed Rock and Roll Over. I don't remember, but when I went back and got it, it was like, oh, I missed it. And I'm sure I got it because of Alive 2. But I remember getting this, and I got it for Christmas.
Yeah, I got it for Christmas. That was my Christmas present also.
That picture right there.
Yep. That is Gene. That is the
hold
Gene.
Hold it up about – there you go, right there.
Right there.
That picture there right there for me made me a fan of his. Just like – that to me was just –
You know, actually, all four pictures. That's just a really good group.
That is a good group. Peter looks just like you expect. Peter looks just like you'd expect him to look.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
about half stoned, right? You know that. Right. I mean, really.
But you know what? The best picture of that album is
there that right there, buddy.
How many hours did you spend looking at that picture? Seriously, I mean, when you're listening to that album, you just propped it up.
How many hours did you try to trace that gatefold so that you could draw your own poster for your wall?
So we know that inside this album the poster that hung over my bed for years was Gene. If you guys have seen the I don't have it out anymore.
Showed his different the years.
No, it's the picture of Gene standing there, and he's got one hand up like this and one hand down, and he's got blood running down the front of him, and he's got his guitar from this tour. That hung above my bed, but that was my headboard for my bed for I don't know how many years. But and that to me was that was what this band was all about. It was.
I mean, I had Bo Derek, but that's
okay. So that hung on the wall, but my bed. I had a bedroom upstairs, so my wall's angled.
Right
above my bed was Farrah Fawcett.
There you go. Just making sure.
Well, I guess that you could tie in Farrah Fawcett to the Kiss thing because she had really pretty hair like Paul did.
There you go.
Yeah. That was a stretch.
This whole show was a stretch, Bill.
Do what?
This whole show is a stretch.
It is. That's true. So there was a poster in here, right?
Booklet that came out. Yeah, it had them through the years. They had each person through the years. That's what it looked like, 73, 74, 75, you know.
Yep. And we had this discussion, right, that if we only knew now, they wouldn't have been split apart and posted and had thumbtacks in the walls. And I have a couple of them that I still have that, but they got holes all over them, and they got masking tape on them. And I remember having to try to figure out, do I want this picture of Ace or this picture of Peter, because they were back-to-back, and I couldn't have them both. And
why showed you guys here – a couple weeks ago when we were just playing around on Skype, I picked up another copy of Alive 2 a few years ago, and I'll be damned if I pulled out one of the records that had the poster thing in there. I mean, the book.
Really?
And I was like, holy shit, my other one got all cut. I was like, man, that's awesome. I mean, it was like a surprise.
Yeah.
So I've kept it. You know, I was like, damn.
Well, we forgot to talk about Love Gun had the gun in it. Yeah.
Yeah, I made that.
Anyway,
you mean
so
that's
this,
not really about a pistol?
Let's go through the track listing. And then we can...
It's about your penis. You ever seen that movie with the Stifler in it? Is it Stifler?
Yeah.
What is the hell is that called? Anyway, there he goes. His little black kids are like going. He goes, listen to this.
Oh, role models.
Role models, yeah.
He goes, he's talking about Rudd. Stick. talking about his dick.
You mean it's not about a gun? What?
He played a Kiss pinball machine in that movie, too.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, so let's see, tracks. And, you know, if they want to go back and do a tour of a great album, if they're going to do an album, do a live, too.
Right.
That'd be great, right?
We talked about that earlier. But if you,
so you got Detroit Rock City, side one, Detroit Rock City, King of the Nighttime World, Ladies Room, Making Love, Love Gun. Yep. Side two, you got Calling Dr. Love, Christine 16, Shock Me, Hard Luck Woman, Tomorrow and Tonight. Side three, I Stole Your Love, Beth, God of Thunder, I Want You, Shout It Out Loud.
Now,
and then
my favorite. This is the other, the two things I love about this album: the gatefold and side four.
And side four. So you got side four. So they did a little bonus thing here on side four, which they released some stuff they hadn't done, which is pretty cool. Which was All American Man and Rockin' in the USA, Larger Than Life, which I like. I like that song.
Oh, that's a freaking awesome.
Rocket Ride, which is a phenomenal song.
And, you mean it's not about space travel?
I don't think so. I think it's a lot like if you put your hand in my pocket, and yeah, there you go.
Anything you think something else, it's about a penis. Okay.
And then there's the Any Way You Want It, which was that's a remake too. So
yeah, that's another one. For a long time, I did not know that was a Dave Clark 5 song.
Yeah.
Of course, Joan Jett did Bits and Pieces. I didn't know that was Dave Clark 5. Turns out there's a lot of people that have covered Dave Clark 5, and I'm a Dave Clark 5 fan and didn't know it.
There you go.
But anyway, back to Alive 2.
But those two songs, All American Man and Larger Than Life, makes that album for me. Those two songs I love. And, you know, the thing is, another one of those deals where you listen to All American Man for the first time and you go, that's not ace. I mean, you just knew it wasn't ace.
Right.
I mean, it was like, it was so blatant.
Well, you know, All American Man and Larger Than Life, when back in 2004, when I was in that Unmasked Kiss tribute band,
right?
You know, we did those two, and we did All American Man because Bob Kulick was there that day,
right?
Exactly. And he got up and he played it with us.
And Bob
us.
Recorded both
right.
The songs,
That's why we did that,
right?
But yeah, those are fantastic songs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then there was a gap after Alive 2.
Yeah,
and that became the unraveling.
Yeah.
Well, you had your solo albums.
Well, that became the unraveling.
Yeah, exactly.
Alive 2 was the end of what we would know Kiss to be from this point forward.
And you know, at that point, they were unraveled. When that thing was produced and sent out, it was done at that point. You know, the unraveling was
on its
way on its way.
Yeah.
You know, it's sad. But anyway.
So, there you go. We hit one, two, we've hit Kiss, Hotter Than Hell, Dressed to Kill, Alive, Destroyer, the originals, Rock and Roll Over, Love Gun, and Alive 2 in about an hour.
Yeah.
Which is not too shabby.
No, and we'll go through the rest of them at some point, you know. Most of the rest of them. Yeah, we can skip
them. We'll go through all of the rest of them. It's just I think the love fest that the three of us have here is about to start getting a little bit rocky.
Well, and the thing is I'm going to have to sit down and I'm going to have to really, I tell you what, there's some albums in this next section that honestly I haven't listened to in probably 10 years. I mean,
there's
I just
albums in the next section that nobody should listen to.
Oh, I agree.
Now I will have to say that even though there are four albums that I'm really not that much of a fan of, I still once a year go through and listen to my entire Kiss collection.
Yeah, I probably you
know, that's pretty you
know,
cool.
You know, yeah. Just because some of the songs I have never liked, and then I'll go through and listen to it. It's like, oh, well, I like that song now, and there's no rhyme or reason for it. You know, back when I first started doing that, there was one or two of the A songs on Unmasked that I liked, and the rest of it was what I would say horrible, or what Bill would say horrible.
Horrible.
But, you know, as I go back and listen to it, every once in a while I was like, oh, well, that song's not so bad. You know, the Paul songs on there I'm starting to kind of grow a little more fond of.
All right.
But sorry, Gene, but I will never, ever be a fan of She's So European.
No.
Dumbest fucking song ever.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Alan dropped the F bomb, not Dennis.
Yeah. On right. Sunday, even.
On a Sunday.
Somebody's going to hell.
I'm going to hell for some of the things I laugh at quicker than I'll go to hell for saying the F word on Sunday.
You know, right. We'll get into a mask at some point because there is some.
Yep, that'll be the next time sometime.
I won't even say it now.
All yeah. right. Until next week. Peace out, folks.
Have a good week. Leave us some feedback. Rock and roll, people.
Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.